Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 Lord, to whom shall we go? Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. As we have through the last couple of weeks, this morning we continue our study of Jesus' mission discourse in Matthew's Gospel. We come back again today to the question of what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be part of his mission here on earth, what it means to be one of Jesus' disciples. And if you thought the last couple of weeks were hard, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Yikes. Happy Father's Day, I guess. What are we supposed to make of all of this? What happened to John 3:17? "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Or Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Shoot. Even those words from Mark show up a little later in Matthew 2. But do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. What are we supposed to make of that? Let's walk through it, shall we? A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. Our reading begins. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? That is to say, Jesus is saying in his not always super clear way, right? If they're going to talk about me, imagine what they're going to say about you. If they are going to say horrible things, call me names, what do you think they're going to say about you who have cast your lot with me? So, have no fear of them, Jesus says. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid. The truth will out. Those who speak ill of you will be seen for what they are, and you will be seen for what you are. So don't hide. Get out there and say what I have told you in the dark out in the light. What I have whispered to you, shout from the housetops. Be bold in this work I have called you to. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. A reminder, right, that God is more powerful than the most powerful man. God is more capable than the most capable person. God can do what no person could ever dream of doing. Do not be afraid. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? This is a fun one in the springtime, right? Sparrows, these birds, were all over the place in Israel at this time, everywhere. Sparrows were often caught and killed and used for food. Sparrows sold two for a penny, he says. Two for a penny sold to help give you sustenance, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head, mine are easier to count maybe than yours, Karen or Jody, right? But even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. I think it's important to note that as harsh as some of the language is that we are going to get to, as harsh as even some of the words he begins with, over and over and over, Jesus is reminding his followers to do not be afraid. God is with you. God has got you. You are doing God's work. Do not be afraid, even though you are up against some pretty scary stuff. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Oof. That's a hard one. Again, I'll remind you, though, just like we talked about last week, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and among those disciples is Peter, the denier, right? There is grace attached to this, but Jesus is not messing around here. Jesus wants to be very, very clear. I have called you to be a part of this work, and this work is your whole life. So either step up or sit down. And then here it comes, right? Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. This work, this call to discipleship has cost, a real cost. Now Jesus in this moment, in this time, is speaking to this gathering of disciples who are up against some real serious costs. Jesus, His ministry, His message, and those people that have come to hear what He has to say has gained the ire of the Roman Empire. The leaders of Rome are watching this man and watching him extremely carefully because he has provoked them, poked them, spoken out against them. And then, in the midst of that, the members of his own community, the religious leaders of the Jewish community, concerned for the safety of their community, concerned for their own piece of the pie, concerned for their power and control, are watching him too. And just as he said in the beginning, if they call the master of the house Beelzebul, what do you think they're saying about you? There is real risk you are entering into. And when you provoke the ire of the empire, when you poke the religious elite and power, when the society around you is looking at you with eyes of suspicion, you'll be very surprised just how quickly everybody starts to step away. There are real consequences to casting your lot with Jesus. And Jesus wants to be clear with his disciples that this is the road we are taking. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's hard to say. That's hard for me as a parent to say. That's hard for me as a son to say, but Jesus is reminding us that all of those priorities you have set in your life do not even begin to compare to the priority I have set for you. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now Jesus is grace-filled for sure. Jesus comes to even the least of us and calls us son, daughter, friend, beloved. But Jesus is also emphatically clear just how important it is to bear that cross, to follow Jesus, to do as Jesus does. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. Just another one of those cryptic Jesusisms, right? What does that mean? It means the way you prioritize your life is important. And the way I have called you to prioritize your life is to set it aside for the sake of the world, just as I have done. The cross was not simply an instrument of execution. The cross was a very specific weapon used by the Roman Empire to make an example. A very public example of anyone who pushed against Rome, who insulted Caesar. They were strung up on that cross to die painfully, publicly, and emphatically as a point. Not that dissimilar from public lynchings like we had in the South and in Duluth. Not unlike the public mass hangings like the biggest mass execution in the history of the United States that happened right here in Minnesota. When the United States government, on the day that Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, hung Native Americans, indigenous people to this country as an example. Do not mess with power. Jesus says, pick up that cross and mess with that power if that power stands between you and loving the neighbor. If that power stands between you and serving one another. If that power stands between you and welcoming the stranger, caring for the neighbor, forgiving one another, living a life of compassion and love. We have all been named, claimed, and sustained by the power of God through the waters of baptism, through the sacrament of body and blood that we receive each week as grateful recipients of God's salvific and liberating love through Christ our Lord, and equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are, each of us, compelled to enter into this broken world as beacons of that love for all. Right? That is what we are, that's what we talked about last week. Right? Through the grace of God, we are called to be bearers of God's image and sent forth to bring healing, to restore relationships, to forgive, to love, to touch the untouchable, to feed the hungry, to care for the poor, to welcome the stranger, to care for the neighbor. We have been named, claimed, and sustained by our God so that we might get up and go out and do what needs to be done for the stranger, for the neighbor, yes, even for the enemy. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. To be a follower of Jesus, to do what is right by God in this world, is hard damn work. It will put you on the other side of what the culture says is right. It will put you on the other side of what popular opinion says is right. It will likely put you on the other side of what your leaders or your government says is right. At times, it will probably even put you on the other side of what your church says is right. And as Jesus tells us this morning, to be his follower might even cost you your family of origin. In fact, it might even cost you your life. But just as Christ turned to the woman who desperately and faithfully reached out for healing, just as he turned to her and called her daughter, just as the Apostle Paul wrote to the divided church in Rome, do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. Just as God promised to Hagar that though her son would not be the inheritor that Isaac would be, Ishmael would yet be blessed to become a great nation. Taking a stand for what is right, aligning oneself with the love of Christ Jesus in all things that we do in this world has a cost, a real cost. Sometimes even a heavy and heartbreaking cost. But that cost is not the end. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Those who find their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake will find it. May it be so. Amen. Let us open up our hymnals and sing our hymn of the day, Great is Thy Faithfulness.